Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife on the other line, Quaslin. Honey, are you there?
Hello?
Honey, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. All right. Tonight's topic is a very hot debate that my wife has discovered here that's been going on here for the last couple of weeks. And tonight's topic is to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. The debate about vaccinating our kids seems to be more controversial every year. With the introduction of newer vaccines, the manifestation of side effects, along with the reappearance of some of the childhood diseases, many parents are questioning whether they should vaccinate their kids at all or partially vaccinate their kids. Is it dangerous to vaccinate? Is it too dangerous not to vaccinate? What vaccines should we use, and how does our decision affect our society? Again, thank you for joining us tonight on Friday, August 5th. The time now is 8:02 p.m., and tonight is our Free Flow Friday. Thank you for calling in. I have my first caller on the air. Calling in again, 6770. You're on the air.
How you doing, Pastor Kenny?
Hello, Pastor Michelle. How you doing?
Fine. I'm doing just fine. I can't wait for the Free Flow Friday.
Amen. We're looking forward to it, too. This is a very hot topic we're talking about, and it's about vaccination. You know, should we vaccinate our children? Is it too dangerous to vaccinate them, or is it not too dangerous to vaccinate them? That's the question that we're talking about tonight. But thank you definitely for calling us.
Hey, Pastor Michelle.
Hi, Pastor Quadler.
Echo.
Oh, is it? Okay, we'll put it on speaker. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. I've called you about 5 times, but that's off the record.
Is anybody else listening to that? I didn't get it.
We'll talk about that after.
Okay.
Okay. We'll talk about that afterwards. Just open the line. All right. Now we have Mish. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing good. Good. Thank you for calling in. And, we spoke earlier. This is our Free Flow Friday, and we are talking about to vaccinate or not to vaccinate.
That is the question.
That is the question. So your line is open. So, you guys jump on in there. Free flow. Okay. We're going to go ahead and open up the line for our next caller. Miss Faye, are you there?
I'm here. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing.
You doing? We're glad you're doing better. Glad you're doing better. But we're talking about to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. This is our Free Flow Friday. So, just join on in the conversation. It's a hot topic. And I definitely want to discuss the HPV vaccination with everybody because I don't know what to do. So we're going to go ahead and start the discussion, and so we ask you guys, you know, please jump on in and, you know, let's discuss to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. You want to start? Can we go ahead? Okay. First of all, I just have a list of some of the immunizations. Oh, okay, we have another caller. I'm going to open up the line. Kim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
Well, thank you for calling. This is our Free Flow Friday. So, we always have lines open, but, you know, this is Free Flow where we try to discuss a hot topic. And, you know, so we ask that you come on in. We're talking about vaccinating tonight. So just come on in, you know, if you have something to say.
Okay.
I printed out a copy of some of the vaccinations that, you know, our children get. Or, you know, a lot of us, most of us have gotten growing up. Well, some of us didn't get all of these because I know they've changed over the years. DTaP, which is for tetanus, you know, the whooping cough. Then we have the flu, the vaccination for pneumonia, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, MMR, which is measles, mumps, and rubella, varicella, which is the chickenpox. And that's some of them that we get. Did I mention meningitis? No, I didn't mention that one. Meningitis is one that they're giving to kids when they're older. And, okay, we have another caller. Hold on just 1 second. Caller ending at 8277. Are you there? Did I say anything? Caller ending at 8277. Okay, if you don't want to say anything, that's fine. We are discussing vaccinations. This is our Free Flow Friday, so if you have anything to say, your line is open, and thank you for calling. Okay, so these are some of the vaccinations that, you know, our children are getting. Now, this is a hot topic because some people feel as though we should not vaccinate because of the chemicals and things that are in the vaccination, so the vaccinations. So these are some of the reasons, chemicals, side effects, and I know I have read cases where people say their children have had seizures or they got vaccinated like a couple weeks before and they died after that. And so although there's nothing, I didn't find anything during my research. I don't know if anybody has anything different. Yeah, so if you guys have something different, please feel free to share. But Kenny and I, we both researched it, and neither one of us could find, you know, cases like that where the kids, you know, the babies may have died 2 weeks later or whatever, and it was they determined that it was due to the vaccination. I know we have read cases where that was, you know, a lot of parents, that's what they felt, but we haven't necessarily – we didn't find anything that said that was, you know, that was determined that it was due to the vaccinations. Now, we do know that there are cases where, you know, there are allergic reactions, bless you, things like that. And when your children get vaccinated, you know, you're supposed to stay there for 15 to 20 minutes if they can, you know, if these symptoms occur. So we know that those type of incidences have occurred, but they're usually from what we researched, they're minimal compared to the amount of children that are vaccinated and they don't have any issues. So these are some of the reasons, and if there are any other reasons that you all know, you know, that people say not to vaccinate, then, you know, I ask that you give those. Now, the reasons that people say to vaccinate, which they strongly, you know, we know the CDC, we know most physicians or a lot of physicians, they strongly suggest vaccination. Protection of our babies, you know, early protection. They say protection of the community and to keep down a lot of those childhood diseases, you know, that like the measles, mumps, polio. What are some other ones? You know, those type of diseases like that they used to have that people died or either they had, you know, these negative side effects, these lifelong, you know, paralysis and things like that. So that we do know that there's evidence that vaccinating has kept, you know, caused these diseases to be kept down, even with chickenpox. Let me talk about chickenpox. I know when we were growing up, it was common for people to get kids to get chickenpox, you know, not more than once, unless you're like me, because I'm one of those people that there are certain things I don't stay immune to. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it was common for people to get chickenpox, and I know, you know, you had some people, if one child got it, then they exposed all their other children to that child so everybody could go ahead and get it, and, you know, you could just get over, just get it out of the way. But now we don't see it like that because they have the shot, because they have the immunization. So you don't see children getting chickenpox like that. So we do know that it works. Again, you know, whooping cough, things like that. So we do see that these vaccinations have eliminated some things. I know last year, the year before, there was that we had measles and mumps and things coming back because, you know, this anti-vaccination movement started spreading. And so there were places, you know, there were states where we saw people people were getting sick. You know, there were kids that were getting these things, these measles, these mumps, and, you know, things like that. Some of them even died. So I don't know. What do you guys think? The line is open. What do you guys think? Anybody?
I think it was a scare tactic by the government.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear me?
What? You think people get the measles and the mumps?
No, the fact that measles, yes. Yes, I do, because there was a lot of people that started refusing to get that shot. So, therefore, you know how our government do. They throw something out there. And then everybody's like, oh, my goodness, I got to go get this shot. Just like I didn't appreciate the fact that they were forcing kids to get that chickenpox shot at one point, and they force you to kind of get that flu shot. They hit you with, if your child don't have the flu shot and the flu break out in the school, your child can't come to school. Well, I might just keep my child home anyway because I don't want them to come home with the flu. You know what I mean? To me, I just think the government just do stuff like that just to scare people into doing what they want them to do. Just my personal opinion.
Okay. Well, I have a question. We get hello, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
We get the mumps, measles, and rubella shot, right? The MMR.
Right.
I don't understand some of the shots, the chickenpox shots and all stuff, because just about all the shots, like Yummy's had the mumps, she has had the measles, she had the chicken pox. I mean, what is it really for? My mom always told me, in order to not get something, you gotta get it. So I don't know. I mean, so what do you all think about that?
About you have to get it first. And I think, you know, I know they used to say that, but I think once kids started dying from these diseases or, like, having lifelong, you know, effects, I think that's what happened with, you know, when they felt they needed to introduce a vaccine, because there were quite a few kids who died from some of those diseases, measles, mumps, and things like that. From what I know, does anybody have anything different? And I know when we were growing up, like I said earlier, it was different then. It was like, okay, you know, he got chickenpox, so everybody get chickenpox. But now, you know, we try to do whatever we have to do to keep our children from ever getting, you know, from having it anyway. And I know a lot of these are live viruses, so it actually, correct me if I'm wrong, right, babe? So it puts the actual disease in your body.
It puts a strand
of it in your body so that it can build up your immune system.
Right. But here's the thing. We all still got chicken pox. All of my kids, once got them, I busted one open so all the other kids could get them.
Right.
Still get them.
And that's what happened in my house when I was growing up. My cousin got it, and my aunt, and she just made me rub, like touch my other cousin, and I got him.
Right. And what's going on? There have been cases where there have been vaccine failures. Let's look at this right here. I have something I found here online about where it says that no vaccine is 100% effective or safe. You know, there are some times where vaccines can cause a reaction, and then they may sometimes fail to provide temporary or long-term protection against infectious diseases. But the whole object behind them is for them to prevent, you know, whatever shot that you're getting is prevent that infectious disease. However, it doesn't always do it. And we can look at things from, you know, blood types or the chemicals in our bodies may react differently to some of the vaccination strands that are actually being injected into our bloodstream. So, in all honesty, you know, with those viruses, like I said, there are live virus strands that actually are attached into a person's immune system by way of the bloodstream. For example, there's a live smallpox vaccine that can cause a vaccinia infection or even cause a live oral polio infection that was discounted in the U.S. in the 1990s, right? So there are published cases where there are strands that work and there are strands that didn't work. But overall, those published reports that they have out there after a live infection, they have been administered to either kids, you know, or adults for, like you said earlier, honey, the mumps, measles, rubella, the rotavirus, influenza, your chicken pox, shingles, and even they also even have a herpes zoster vaccine. So there are a lot of shots out there. And Pastor Michelle, just to elaborate on what you were saying earlier about, you know, your children were getting vaccinated, but they still were getting, you know, the diseases such as like the measles, the mumps, et cetera. Those strands, and I don't know if it's dealing with scientific experimentation, but they're coming up with all these different types of vaccine strands, and now these vaccine strands are becoming the alpha for, you know, old vaccine strands that they actually had that were on the market back then, and our bodies have evolved, and now some of our bodies are immune to those shots, and some of our bodies aren't. There are cases where people are actually having to get mumps, measles, and rubella shots more than they're actually supposed to, just because their body is not given a long term immunization to that particular strain. So I hope I answered your question, Pastor Michelle. And just what reported violations and stuff like that, parents are highly suggested to report that the vaccines have caused a particular reaction, whether it be an allergic reaction, what have you. So that's pretty much all I have to say right now, honey.
And I think it's, you know, looking at the much. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just trying to make sure y'all can hear me.
Excuse,
I can chime in.
Excuse me. Excuse me, honey. We have a new caller just came in. Can I bring him in?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. All right. Caller ending in 5359. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. Good evening. My name is Danielle Arnold, and I am just here to listen to the show.
All right.
Oh. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dr. Quadron, how are you?
Good. I just waked up some Gatorade out of the refrigerator. I'm doing good. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, as always, we always tell our callers that call in that we'll keep the line open. So your line will be open. That way, if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, the topic tonight, which is about to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, please feel free to do so. And again, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I interrupted Shannon.
Kim.
Shannon's on the left.
Kim.
Oh, Kim. Okay, man, y'all shine a light. Goodness. Hey, Kim.
I just wanted to say that as far as the vaccinations and, you know, to chime in kind of on what Quadri was saying, sometimes I do agree with some the reason why they kind of force parents and children to have the vaccine is because a lot of kids did. But you have to realize, too, that even though your child may not be affected by it or be totally healthy, the next person at school may not. So, you know, like back in the day, of course, all of our family, one person got it, everybody got it, because 9 times out of 10, we had a healthy family and everybody knew what was going on in the household. You have to realize that that may not be the case when you're dealing with other people and their children. What can be okay for your child may fail for somebody else. So that's kind of why the government and the school system kind of touch on that and kind of almost force children to do it, because now in these generations, we're dealing with kids with leukemia and all different types of diseases that used to be one common until you were old. But now you're, you know, kids. So they kind of forcing kids to have it because it could be something that looks stop or looks how they feel. We just have to be mindful with that because the kids be able to get somebody else. And that's all I want.
Right, because that's true, because there are kids that have, you know, a compromised immune system. And then, you know, like Kenny was saying, as far as, you know, their people have to get multiple shots, that's me. I'm on, for some reason, my body doesn't, I don't keep an immunity to rubella and chicken pox. I don't know why. I've had chicken pox, but then when I got pregnant with the twins, they told me that I wasn't immune to chickenpox. So then when I was pregnant with Jared, I was immune, and then I got pregnant with Mariah, which wasn't too long after Jared, and then I didn't have an immunity anymore. So I'm one of those people that, although I've had the chickenpox and I've had the shots, I still, for some reason, my body doesn't stay immune to the disease. So we do have cases like that, and they do look at it as, there's a name for it, but I forgot what they call it. The hurt. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The name, what they call it, where you have people to get vaccinated to protect the whole community. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I got to find it. I'm going to find it before we get off the phone. But, it is. There are cases like that, and so, you know, cases like that, again, you know, where, like Kim was saying, then they try to keep those things down, you know, if the other kids are, you know, they have illnesses, or if they're those children who just cannot take vaccinations, because we do have some children that do have allergic reactions to vaccinations. You know, so it is. Some parents have every right to say, "Well, you know, my child had this reaction, so I'm not going to do it again because, you know, that the last time the child could have broke out or throat closed up, you know." And so, that's most of us. If that happened one time, then I don't think it's too many of us that'll do that again. So.
Right. Right. Well, also there's also this. Program out there that was established back in 1986 by the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And it's called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. And in 1986, y'all, back in 1986, the government, along with the Congress, found out that there were, in fact, vaccinations that were causing injuries and even death, and that they were real. And that, you know, they also came up with a national vaccination compensation, where it was created by Congress to stabilize vaccination costs and establish a no-fault compensation alternative for those that were actually injured by it. And in rare cases, you know, they did actually have people that were suing and trying to sue because of these vaccinations that were actually causing people people's children to die. And then that law preserved that right for vaccine-injured persons to bring a lawsuit into the federal court system, and at that federal court, compensation was either denied or was not sufficient, all right, back in that time. But by 2010, the U.S. claimed that it had awarded nearly $3 billion to vaccine victims for their catastrophic vaccination injuries, although there are three applicants that have been denied this compensation that were mentioned, and they hadn't said much about the names of the persons that actually filed the case. However, it is real, and we do understand that different blood types or different immune system status does cause an allergic or a chemical reaction that will cause an adverse effect to the vaccination. So that's what the government was basically saying. They were the government and Congress was basically saying that, hey, okay, we're not denying the fact that there are cases out there where people are actually dying from the vaccines, but there are also cases where people are being compensated. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Although I do work for the federal government, I'm not in no way trying to. I'm just trying to talk about the conversation tonight. That's all Kenny want to do.
But again, thank you, Pastor Michelle. She sent me a text. Herd immunity. So that's what they do, you know, when they try to get us to, you know, vaccinate to protect the community and for those that can't. But even with what you're talking about, Kenny, I guess my question is that the minority or the majority? Because we know there's a risk to everything. There's a risk to what we eat, any medication we take. There's always a risk.
Right.
So in that, you know, because $3 billion sounds like a whole – that is a whole – I ain't going to say sound like I wish I had $3 billion. That's a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, how much did they give to people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is this – like, was that article written in favor of vaccinations or against vaccinations or what? Even though it may be true information – but, you know, we're trying to decide, should we vaccinate our children or should we not?
Mm-hmm.
So is that the minority or is that the majority?
Right.
Anybody?
Well, when it comes to vaccines and, you know, whether or not we should or we shouldn't, there are actually the minority population, and in my research, would definitely have to be the personnel that decided not to vaccinate their kids, period. Whereas majority would be the ones that actually did. Now, there were parents, I want to say, I think we were in Germany when this happened, and we started reading about reports in America where there were parents that were forced to take their kids out of school if they weren't going to vaccinate them. And Missionary Jay, you mentioned it as well. But this is a true known fact that they were actually, in fact, this didn't just come by way of the state law or the federal government law. They actually had families that were out there that were afraid to have their kids being around kids who had a immune system that was not protected by any of the vaccines, because they were worried about their children contracting one of these, you know, childhood diseases that we've had. Now I myself, my brother has had the measles. My brother has had the mumps. My brother has had chickenpox. But glory be to God, here I am, I'm about to be 37 years old, and I've never, ever had chickenpox. I have had the measles before, and that's where you get the little, you know, the little fine red bumps on your skin. I have had the measles before, but I never had chickenpox, and I don't remember having the mumps at all either. All right, so everybody's immune system is different, just as you mentioned earlier, honey. Everybody's immune system is different. Some people's immune system will take to the vaccinations, and some won't, kind of like yours, honey, where you have to continuously get certain shots. So, I mean, it's just a matter of parents taking the risk of getting their kids vaccinated. I would just put it in that aspect.
Well, okay. Does anybody have anything? Nobody? God, it's
Hello?
Slow Friday.
Okay, so I have a
Hello?
Question, honey, if I may ask.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I did have
call you on air. Go ahead.
This is Sister Leandra. The first time I called was earlier this week.
Okay.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
I just wanted to kind of give my opinion where I know of a pastor where he would not give his children the vaccination, and they put his children out of the school because they said they had to do it and they had to have the vaccinations. And he was telling them, you know, well, no, I believe in God, that God is going to protect my children. And they told him that, no, they wouldn't allow his children in the school system, that the school did not want to take responsibility for having children who did not have these vaccinations in there. And he was trying to say, well, it should be his religious right. And they said no, and they actually had to homeschool their kids.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's just mind-boggling to me. There are certain cases and events and situations that happen where, you know, people are protected by their own personal belief. And then with him having his own personal, you know, belief, he was actually forced to homeschool his children.
Mm. And I do think some states have a religious exemption. But that's a good question if anybody would like to give their opinion. I mean, well, that's a good topic, subtopic, if anyone would like to give their opinion on that. I guess, how do we feel about that? How do we feel about being forced to give our children vaccinations?
That was a good question. I was just about to ask the line that.
Can I answer that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, please do.
I think because America is so regimental and we are used to doing what the government says, that when the baby comes out the womb, they already get a shot. It's so standard for us that a lot of us don't even think about anything concerning vaccinations. We just know we have to take them every 2, 4, 6 months. Because sometimes, you know, kids, I actually read another case where recently where the baby got taken away because the mother said that she would not vaccinate. So for most people, it's just like we're so used to doing it, we don't even think about it.
Mm. Wow.
I've never heard a case where people's children were taken away. See, that to me is just like a whole. That's a whole other level.
And this baby was only a few hours old, and they took her.
Wow. Amazing.
Anybody else have anything to say about that one? About how you feel about having to have your children?
I was going to say exactly what Pastor just said. This is amazing that they can take prayer out of school because of one parent not agreeing with her or his beliefs. But yet, if a parent stand up and say that they don't believe in the vaccination and that they believe that God is the healer, that child gets kicked out of school. His beliefs or her beliefs don't matter. And we live in a sad country, and this is proof of it. We live in a sad country. And I guess with me, I'm from the old school, and I know that the immunization shots all aren't 100%. I know that. But I do try to keep my girls updated with this. I just think that we just live in a country that is so sad. And things that really matter don't matter. And things that matter, it's just messed up to me. I don't understand it. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to what everyone has to say, But this is something like Pastor Kenneth. This is amazing to me.
This is truly it's just appalling to think about just how our the American population has to go through this. I have this case, honey, if I may share it with the line, the callers.
Okay.
Okay, so I have this young lady. Her name was Hannah Brewitz. And, you know, Hannah Brewitz, she was a healthy young infant who received the DTP shot, the diphtheria shot, and tetanus and pertussis shot vaccine back in 95. And soon after the vaccination, her mom and dad discovered that she was having catastrophic injuries, which now caused her to have lifelong residual seizure disorders. So her condition required, you know, extraordinary care and financial resources. And the family decided to sought after, you know, this vaccination company and receive compensation under that act that I mentioned about earlier for 1996 or for 1986. Which is the Vaccination Injury Compensation Act. Okay, so the court granted, or the court decided to, you know, go ahead and listen to the case, right? But then the compensation program denied her recovery. They basically denied the young lady recovery, and then it was later found in the court that the court granted a summary against the judge, deciding, you know, for the parents to, you know, be able to appeal the case. All right, so they appealed the case, and with them appealing the case, the court decided to design a defects claim act, you know, for all vaccinations. And then you had where the federal court system granted that summary judgment, and then now 14 later after Hannah's injuries, she has yet to find justice. She still hadn't received, her parents still haven't received compensation for this young lady having seizures, but then it came out in the courts that they actually had a class action lawsuit against this company for messing up the vaccination strain. So what was happening is this company, I guess they weren't completely trained on it, just based off of what I've read, the little that I have read, I guess they weren't completely trained on, you know, establishing a vaccination strain for people to be protected against, you know, for the DPT. And they pretty much tried to back out of the claims. They didn't even want to try to settle in the courts or nothing. They were just like, no, we're not going to do that. So I think it's just sad.
But then what I have to say, I mean, I'm not trying to, but how do we know that was related to the vaccine? Like, how do you know that? Because nothing you said really gives evidence that her seizures were related to the vaccine.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, we have, like I said earlier, and we haven't found any, we didn't find stories that says,
nope,
you know, something that happened a couple weeks later. Now, we do know things can happen,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying that any of those cases were not related. That's
right.
Not what I'm saying, because I don't know. But I'm just saying, how do we know? We read the stories, we read what, you know, and of course if we read something about somebody's child dying, that's going to, first, we're going to feel sympathetic, we're going to fear, you know, we're immediately going to do that, especially if we have babies or, you know, we're pregnant, then we're going to think about our children, you know, what if this happens to my baby? You know, we're going to think like that a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
But what if that wasn't the case? So how do we know? How do we truly make an informed decision for our children?
Well, also, I would say we can do it by continuing to update, and not update, but continuing to educate ourselves on the vaccination program. But if you notice, most of the time, right, before doctors are actually able to administer a vaccination for a child, they're normally, most of the time they might have you sign a vaccination agreement saying that you agree to anything that may happen to your child. But they also have Section 22 of that act that I was mentioning earlier, the Compensation Act, that protects vaccination vaccine manufacturers from liability in a civil court case that if, in fact, there is an injury or a death that resulted from the side effects that were unavoidable, even though the vaccine was properly prepared and was accompanied by proper directions and warnings, it's protecting them. So now doctors will ask, we'll give you the option of opting out on whether or not you want to give your child a vaccination or you don't want to give your child a vaccination. But I think, honestly, honey, based off the research that you and I have done, callers, there has been cases out there where people have claimed or made an alleged claim against, you know, the vaccination, saying that the vaccines were causing, you know, certain type of reactions. Now I've searched all over to try to find it, and I haven't found anything saying that there were shots or anything, vaccines that will cause these type of side effects.
A couple weeks later, we know there are, because you just said there were from the act, but I'm saying, like, you know, because there are quite a few cases where people's children have died 2 weeks or either suffered, like, seizures 2 weeks, you know, 3-4 weeks, 2 months, and they automatically think that it's the vaccine, and it could be. Mm-hmm. But how do we know? Anybody? I mean, anybody?
Yeah. My opinion is basically we have to do just like we do with everything else as a parent, because everyone parent their children differently. We would parent differently. I think there's always going to be a cause and effect to whatever you do, and you just have to do what's best for you and your family and your child, because you have to look at it like this. If I don't vaccinate my child, what if somebody else get my child to? Then how sick will my child get because I didn't vaccinate them? Or what if I decided to vaccinate my child and someone else got sick? Like, it's always going to be a back and forth. So my thing is, we just have to, I think as a parent with this, there's no right or wrong with your belief. And whatever you believe that you're doing best for your child, you just have to realize that if it comes with a consequence, that was the choice that you made. Whether something happens to a child or your child or not, we just have to do this through from our parents. Because what I believe as a teacher may not be into somebody else's belief, but it doesn't make me wrong because I have a certain belief.
Right.
The best choices on whatever we make. Now, personally, with me, I don't vaccinate my children because the government told me or the school system. I vaccinate my children because, one, I got one that got seizures, so I don't want to have another issue. I have one that had seizures, and I don't want to have another issue. And because I take care of my house and my house is healthy, don't mean somebody else going to do it. So I don't want somebody else to get the flu or something else and bring it to school and give it to my child. And that child is okay, but now my child is in the hospital because they don't have a chronic side effect from this child giving them the flu. So I'm going to vaccinate my child because I don't want my child to have a certain type of situation. But at the same time, if I do decide to vaccinate my child, if my child did have a side effect, then that'll be a consequence that I have to deal with because I decided to vaccinate it. So it's going to always be a if or a maybe, because we just never know. You just have to do what's best. And if you decide not to vaccinate and the government or the school system tell you you must and you decide not to do it, then that's a consequence you're going to have to deal with for where your child can go to school with. You know, and if you decide to vaccinate, then if your child got sick, that's just something you're going to have to deal with because you decided to vaccinate them. That's
okay,
just my
absolutely.
Opinion on
it.
You know,
I like it. Thank you.
Also,
well,
you know, I want to say, as an adult, I began to have seizures, and they never knew when I was having those seizures. They did determine that there was some abnormal brainwave that was going on. But, you know, they tried here to pass a law to get marijuana for the little children that was having these bad off seizures, and that didn't work here. You know, some families had even moved to Colorado where it was legal at. But I don't know, and I'm not going to say if vaccination not having them cause seizures. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But I will say as an adult, I begin to have seizures. And I always told them, probably the day I got promoted in the Army, I got so excited from that promotion. That's probably why I had one. But I try to keep myself humorous and, you know, just keep moving on. But, you know, I just always felt, and I could be wrong, that a person that has seizures just thinks that of that moment in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my opinion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So again, it's still we're still looking at, you know, honey, if I may, we're still looking at the fact, right? There are warning labels and there are warning things out there that we all are made aware of. Say smoking, for instance. Smoking. They have a label on there, Surgeon General's label, that says that smoking may cause cancer, yet people still smoke. And then when they get lung cancer or mouth cancer, you know, from either smokeless tobacco or actual smoking cigarettes, there are people that actually have filed suits against that. Or, you know, somebody grabbing a coffee from McDonald's that has hot in like five different languages, and they burn themselves and they drop coffee on themselves, and then they want to try to sue McDonald's and actually win cases. I don't understand why, if there are accidents where people, based on this vaccination injury compensation act, I don't understand why there wouldn't be people that shouldn't get compensation for it, if that's the case. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It just honestly doesn't. But, you know, my wife and I have honestly decided that we're going to vaccinate our kids, all right? And we trust God that through this vaccination, because it's God that gives people, it's God that gives man, right, the mental capabilities, you know, to even create a strand to prevent a certain disease or, you know, infectious disease from entering into a person's bloodstream by way of immune system, you know, a lowered immune system. So it's God. So we trust that God is in the midst of it, and God's hand is on that person's, you know, mindset when they're creating these strands. So, I mean, that's just how I feel. I'm sure my wife feels the same way, because, you know, we have always vaccinated our children. It's just something we have done.
Right, and you know, some people feel like if you vaccinate, then that means you're uneducated, and that's not necessarily true, because, like I said, we both did, you know, some research. It's just, you know, I personally feel for my kids, because even before they get vaccines, even if it's something they've had before, I do pray. You know, I do the same thing if they're eating something new. You know, or you could eat something that's not new and still have an allergic reaction. You could eat something you've been eating for a long time and, you know, boom, you have an allergic reaction. You could get some medicine, you know, they give them. So I do pray, you know, against any side effects or, you know, things like that. I try to make sure that they say stick around the office for 15 minutes, that we stick around for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But, for me, I personally believe that that although they do have side effects or there is a chance that something could happen, I feel for my kids that it's just, I would rather take the chance with them getting vaccinated than with them getting some of these, like my newborn baby getting, you know, whooping cough.
Absolutely.
That's just not a chance that I really want to take. You know, so that's why I make that decision, you know, why my husband and I, we've talked about it, and that's the decision we've made, because we feel like it's just, not that the other side doesn't have, you know, fears, because it does. I just, you know, we just decided that, you know, we feel like they'd be better off on the vaccination side. But now I am kind of having issues with this HPV vaccine.
Mm.
Now this vaccine, I was researching it yesterday, and this morning, and it seems like you have a lot of physicians that even have concerns about this vaccine. And it starts at the age of 11. They want to start giving it to your children at the age of 11. And I, you know, from reading what I've had some people I read some people, of course, that say, you know, their children are having issues. I know this is fairly new, so it hasn't been around as long as a lot of the other vaccines. But I don't know. I feel a little uncomfortable about that one. So does anyone have anything to say, anybody with any experience with that one? I know at one article I read said that they had some cases where, which again goes back to, you know, you can have cases from anything. You know, everything has its pros and cons. But they had some cases where, like, some of the females had ended up, I think, with cervical cancer or something. It was something like that. But I know that's what it's supposed to try to prevent, you know. So I don't know. Does anybody have anything to say about the HPV vaccination?
Well,
I wanted to say something about it.
Sure.
I was looking at the information about that, and they were, it's funny, but it's not funny, but the government was, it was like a different strain of the vaccine they were giving to people in different states. Basically, they were, it kind of reminds me of the Tuskegee whole thing where they're doing this experiment. And they're putting certain things within the vaccine because they felt like, okay, well, in this state, you know, well, people were, this was happening or this was going on or this is more of a concern. So something extra was being put into the vaccines in different states and different areas. So then people were having different reactions to it. So you weren't having it in Michigan, but Washington was having it. You know, and that's also the children's vaccines, too. They were doing that also where they're putting other little things in because they're so, they're kind of preparing for, well, if we run out of food and we have to, you know, make corn or we have to eat grasshoppers, well, if we start giving people these certain enzymes, well, this will help their body be able to go without certain things. So they were putting different things in all the different vaccines, and the HPV one and the one that people get as children. You get the ones as children and you get a lot more as babies than you get when you're going to that teen area. Well, now they finally, this is their way to kind of get things into those teenage bodies that they were getting into the younger ones. But it has, I know the people were saying it has something to do with the government kind of doing things where they feel like something is coming ahead. You know how they're also, you know, getting ready to send people to the moon to live there. Well, they're getting people's bodies ready to be able to go through certain things, and they're putting these in these vaccines.
My God.
We have to pray over anything going into our body.
Yes, because they're doing that even with our food. It's ridiculous. It's like we're not safe with anything.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's
my Lord.
And see, I don't know a lot about that. And I thank you for telling me that because my son, he'll be 11 next year. And I'm really concerned. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I didn't know that there were so many strands of HPV.
Wow, yeah, there are a lot.
And so I found that out in Georgia, right, when I went to, you know, my annual checkup. And they were the first ones that had ever, you know, did a test and educated me on it. And this was when we were on our way to Georgia. So, you know, I was in my 30s, my late 30s. And I didn't realize that, you know, there were so many strands. And from what they say, you know, mostly if you're, you know, sexually active, you've been exposed to the strands, you know, some of the strands a lot of times. But our bodies fight some of them off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I guess that's something else. And is it, you know, is that really, is that one of them that we should choose? You know, just like Hep A, some people don't want their babies to get Hep A, because they're like, why do they need Hep A as babies? So that's another thing. Just because you may be pro-vaccine, you know, does it mean pro-vaccination or whatever, does that mean that, you know, you feel like your child needs every vaccine at the stage that they tell you to give it to your child or children? Or should we delay them and put them off? Or, you know, some people feel like they give them too many shots, because sometimes they'll give a baby five shots at a time. Oh, they don't, you know, they're fine. And so it's just, I don't know, it's a lot there. It's just a lot there.
You're right, it's a lot to deal with. And with the children receiving multiple vaccinations, some people are having a problem with thinking that these vaccinations are mixing, therefore causing chemical reactions to take place in the body that are adverse based on the vaccination being positive in immunization. So, yeah, you're right. But this human papillomavirus is it's also considered like one of the top STD or STI diseases that, you know, sexually transmitted. Right, and the reason why they're saying 11, also, honey, is because nowadays kids are normally sexually active between the ages of 11 and 12. They're starting to become sexually active between the ages of 11 and 12. But then you can go online and you can go on the CDC website and you can go in and look up HPV and see all of the different pictures of what happens to personnel that actually have contracted this infection. And it's just horrific on the amount of pictures and things that you see. There's even a new strand out there of HPV that causes neck cancer, causes cancer in your pelvic area, cervical cancer, the whole nine. So, I mean, It's just a lot to deal with. You're absolutely right, honey.
I know. Does anybody have any? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Some people were nervous and they didn't know if they gave their child this vaccination, you know, at the age they're requesting. If you're saying, okay, am I saying, okay, it's okay for you to be sexually active at this age? I know a lot of people were talking about that is this saying, okay, you know, is this okay? You know, it's kind of like when people are giving their kids the birth control pill, you know, when they're 16. And some people say, well, I'm doing it so that if you do become active, you know, you'll be okay. But I know that was a debate I heard a lot of people saying. Am I now saying, okay, this is okay for you to do?
Right. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good topic, too. That's a good birth one. Control that we're going to do that one.
That is a good one.
Right. I hadn't even thought about that, but that is. So, yeah. Because that is rather young, and I was thinking about that because when I saw that that they were giving it at 11, I was like, wow, that is young. But we do live, you know, they are doing things prematurely. That's just.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I have been trying to talk for like 10 minutes. I thought something was wrong with my phone.
No,
we
didn't hear you.
We haven't heard anything. Yeah, honestly, we haven't heard anything.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to touch on the HPV, the human papilloma virus. All four of my children have received the shot. They haven't had any adverse reactions. One of the things that drew me in to go ahead to allow them to get the shot is because there are some women on both sides of the family who had cervical cancer. And so with that being said, it is the strand that my children got is a prevention of cervical cancer, genital warts, you know, things like that. But I got that for that reason, for the girls. But my boys did get it as well. And it does start at age 11, and you end at age, I believe, 17. It's a series of shots that you have to do at certain ages. And they haven't had any adverse reactions, but my children have never had any adverse reactions to any shots, period. So.
Yeah, ours haven't either, thank God. So for those of you who have allowed your children to get the HPV, would you say, you know, would you recommend getting it at 11 for somebody like me who's...
Well, I got my kids at 11. But
that's me.
When
my daughter was 11, I don't even think they offered it to her. I didn't know that they even had that shot available until we got to Germany and she was 13. So at that time, I did let her go ahead and get it, not to condone, you know, sexual activity, but for the prevention of cervical cancer and any other things.
Right. I need you to do me a favor, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to think about. How? And yeah, that's a lot to. That's a lot to think about.
It is.
Because I didn't even think about that when I was thinking, you know, about whether we should get it for him at 11. If, you know, feeling like we were condoning, you know, sexual activity at such a young age.
Well, I think we all could combat that by, you know, continuing to educate and teach our children, you know, about being sexually active at a young age and not having experience about it. You know, and what I mean by having experience, I'm not talking about having experience about sex. I mean, really, there's only one way to do it. I'm talking about the things that come along with it, you know, and that's chlamydia,
right.
Gonorrhea, herpes, syphilis, you know, black syphilis, AIDS, you know, the whole nine. There's a whole bunch of things that kids don't know about, you know. It's kind of like when you first start school and the teacher can't tell you everything about the school year. They can only just tell you, you know, every quarter or every 8 weeks or so. But just what I can say truly is that we can continue to educate ourselves, and I think we need to show kids the filthy, nasty, dirty pictures of what can happen when you're having sex, you know, so that way they can kind of deter them away from it. Because
yeah,
I don't know
I
if y'all remember,
that.
But I remember I had a sex ed teacher in ninth grade. They used to show us all of the filthy, nasty pictures you could think of the things that can happen and take place to you by being sexually active and not using the condom to protect yourself. And I tell you what, it really can bring it home and say, man, I don't want this happening to me.
But you
right.
know,
Have
they
y'all?
Did do that when we were in school. But it did, and I was raised in a, you know, safe. My mom taught me, this is not what you biblically, you know. She taught me. We had the pictures, you know, and health and all that. But I still did it I still lost my virginity as a
Same
teenager,
here.
You know. And so it's just,
right.
Even though you tell them and. They know it's real, but I don't know if it really clicks how real it is, you know, or maybe
right.
It probably won't happen to me. You know,
it doesn't.
Some of that stuff, you know, kind of comes with maturity. Go ahead. Wasn't somebody talking?
Yeah, no, what I was
no.
saying, it doesn't because
oh,
we
okay.
as kids, we're
okay.
just going to be experimental. You tell somebody, oh, don't touch that stove, it's hot. We're going to touch it, just find
right.
out if it's hot. So,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to know, or has anybody heard when you were listing all those STDs, it made me think of this one. It's called a blue waffle.
Don't go into that right now, Mish. We have to do that on the show about birth control.
Okay, okay got it. Okay, but have y'all heard of that?
Save it.
Yes.
I heard
that
of it through you.
Awful.
I had never heard of it before. I'm just playing. Go ahead and talk about it, Mitch, since you brought it up. I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
Before we left for Germany, thank you so much, Cameron. Before we left for Germany, Alani was in McKeesport. It was a junior high. And she got into a fight because the girl had called her a blue waffle. I had never heard of it. But when the principal had told me to look it up, it is literally
yes.
Yes, it for the people who don't know, it is the woman's private area, but actually looks like a waffle design, and it is blue. And I was like, okay, now I see why my daughter punched the girl in her face for calling her that. But it is
I'm surprised
nasty,
I don't have a
and it does.
Seriously,
I don't even. That was the first time I've ever heard of it. Or, you know, and then I seen it on Google, you know, Google pretty graphic. And, you know, and that was like the first and the last time. So I've just thought I was the only person or maybe just people in, you know, I'd never heard of that. So I was just wondering if I was the only one that was out there clueless on that thing or, you know, if other people had heard of it because that's something, you know, all the other ones you hear about. But that's like one that I guess doesn't come up that often. I don't know.
No, I had never heard of it until you told me about it. And so kind of going back to even the HPV, taking it back even with that, or the vaccinations, because we do teach our children, you know, but there's still so many things that they could be exposed to, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to stop them. So then, you know, I guess it comes down to the decision, is it wiser to just go ahead and do what we need to do as a preventative measure just in case? You know, just in case they decide to experiment, just in case they decide to do it, even though we're telling them not to, wait for your spouse, you know, hey, that's the right way to do is the best way to do, you know, but...
Right.
Unfortunately, it's not always the way that we do it.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I believe the way that the world is going, all these rap songs, they promote sex and everything else that's under the sun. And some of our children get influenced by that, you know, just from being around other people, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it is, I mean, it to me, it's just preventative. You know, I buy my 18-year-old, well, not he can buy his own, but, you know, I make sure that he has condoms. You know, I talk to them regularly about sex, STDs, about, you know, even though you may not actually be doing the actual act of penetration, but letting, you know, the female kiss on your private part can still cause, you know, issues. You know,
absolutely.
So it's
just
education and vice versa. You kissing on female private parts can cause issues. So, I mean, all you can do is educate them and hope that they listen. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't. Well, Mish, okay, so did you get your son the HPV shot? Does he have?
Yes.
Well, or is it? I know it's, so he got it too. Okay. And
right.
Pastor Michelle, you said all four of yours did, so your boys and your girls. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't have any reactions or anything, and everything seems to be, you know, fine. But like you said, there's like a gazillion, you know, different strands of HPV.
Yep, over 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over 100 strands.
All right. Well, does anybody else have anything? This was a great, great topic. You guys were kind of quiet, though. But thank you all for, you know, for giving us your feedback and, you know, for our new caller for calling in again.
Yes, thank you.
So all our loud children didn't turn you off. Let's go sick. And so I'm glad you called back, and thank you for your feedback and your education, because you told me things I didn't know. So we do appreciate that. Kim, thank you for calling.
Absolutely.
Taking the time out to call in tonight. And everybody else, and everybody else. And Faye, we're glad you're back. It's good to hear your voice again. But does anybody have anything else? Okay, so I think next Friday our free flow conversation is probably going to be about birth control and that stuff, because I think that is definitely something that we Janelle, thank you. I was about to call you nickname. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much
Yes.
for calling in again. And we would love to have you to call back in more and give us your, you know, your opinion on things. And everybody, if I miss anybody, I'm sorry. But thank everybody for taking the time out and for calling in and, you know, supporting us. And I do think we're going to talk about that next week. And on Tuesday, you know, if you guys can call in, we're going to have a conversation on mental illness, dealing with mental illness, you know, in the family, with your spouse, with your children. Because that's something that we don't talk about a lot of times, but, you know, chronic depression, bipolar, you know, schizophrenia, PTSD, you know, different things like that. And, you know, I think it's just something that we truly should talk about. There are a lot of things out there, and especially by us being saved, you know, how do we combat those? How do we handle them in the family? You know, just really getting into detail about that. So I ask you all, if you can, to call back on Tuesday, and I'm excited about that discussion as well. So, did you have anything else, baby?
I'm good to go. Thank you all for calling in, and we pray that you all have a blessed weekend. And stay hydrated, because it's hotter than fish grease out there in some of them states.
yes, it is. All right. You all have a great night.
You also. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.